Lord, we want to pray for Dan. Lord, we want to pray for just a supernatural boldness, a supernatural courage, and such a faith right now in Jesus' name to hear what you are saying and to speak exactly as you say it, Lord. We pray that you would move through him, that you would speak through him, and ultimately, Lord, that you would be glorified and that we would be drawn even closer to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amazing. Can I describe to you one of the most, this is probably like my worst feeling. Maybe you can relate to me. Have any of you had that where you've got up early in the morning, you've made your coffee, you've got said coffee, you go sit down, you get about, not even three quarters, just before that, there's like that last two or three sips left. And then you get up to go do something and you misplace that coffee. And you're like, you're not quite wanting another cup, but that cup of coffee is not finished. Do you know what I'm saying? That thing for me, like, that's the pits for me. You're like, something is missing. There's like, I've started something that I'm not, like, it's not like I want something completely new. I don't want to go and make a whole new cup of coffee, but there's a part of something that I had and I was enjoying that's, it's not there anymore. And then eventually you find said coffee like on the top of the microwave or something stupid, like next to the sink or, and by the time you get to it, now it's cold. And it's just not, anyone relate to that feeling? Just me. Okay, great. So Lord, thank you for today and help us this week. Amen. I don't know about you, and maybe I'm an emotional person, but believe it or not, you are too. And if you don't think you are, you're just really good at lying to yourself. Because human beings are made with emotion on purpose. God has put them inside of us. But I go through these stages in my life, and maybe you can relate to that too for yourself, of moments of this that I've got two sips of coffee left, but I'm not quite that hollow discontent feeling inside of me. It's kind of like I've had a holiday. It's been school holidays. I didn't really have a holiday. The kids had a holiday. That kind of felt like more work than holiday. I'm going to church. I'm doing some of the right things. It's not like I'm not having a massive existential crisis. There's like a hollowness inside of me. I'm almost like, I feel like I'm a bit purposeless. Work's not bad. It's not great. Circumstances aren't falling apart, but there's a part of me that's just feeling unsatisfied. Anyone feel like that ever? Me and Declan. It's just, there's this sense of like, it's exactly what Donovan said today. Who's feeling good and there's five? Who's feeling bad and there's no one who wants to be honest? And then there's who's feeling average? Who's feeling meh? It's like, that's how I would describe it. I'm meh. And I think that it's a bigger symptom than we actually care to realize. And actually, it's actually part of an existential thing that happens inside of us. And it's actually what happens when we find ourselves missing the purpose that God actually has for us. And you actually start to feel this way when you are no longer doing the thing that you've been designed to do. It's when you start to fall in love with other things, or you start to really invest your time and effort and everything's going into this business that you're plowing ahead and you're trying to survive, or this job that you're trying to advance, or this marriage that you're trying to hold together, or these little blighters that you're trying to get through school who you love and they're amazing. Mine are amazing. Oh, I can't. They're all teenagers. They all stay in now. I get to say nothing anymore. I used to be able to make jokes about my kids. Now they're all in the front row. It's terrible. But you get this like feeling inside of you. There's this part. So in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there's this nation called Israel. It's the nation of God's people. He's chosen them. They are literally on the face of the planet. This is the Lord God's people that he is like, he's got a specific plan for them, is to show his glory to the nations. They are this incredible nation. And do you know that even this very same thing that I'm describing to you, they have and they experience. And it's when they're starting to put the emphasis on the wrong things. And they're not actually doing what they've been designed to do. Because when you are fulfilling your God-given purpose, I want to tell you, you feel alive. There's no sense of meh. Have you ever had one of those peaks in your cycle? Because I think we all cycle to some degree. All of us, our relationship, except Nick is a little bit like this, I'm not going to lie, but even Nick has a heartbeat every now and then. A pulse. It's 2 beats per minute, but there is a pulse. But for all of us, our walk with God, maybe is that just me? Like, you guys are dead today, so this preach definitely applies. But it feels like one moment I feel like I'm so close to God and I'm doing so well, and then the next moment I'm meh, and then the next moment I'm like, what's up with this dude? Big G? Where you at? And it's like our walk with God has these rhythms on it. And I think it has far more to do with what we are investing ourselves in and putting our time and effort and energy and things into more than we even realize. I think we think that, oh no, this is just how I am. And I think that actually I want to show us this morning that there's something that you can do about it. Me and you, Declan, me and you. And so there's this part, and it's from a book called Haggai. And Israel has been destroyed. The nation's been walloped. The temple's been destroyed. These people are meh. They're supposed to come back and rebuild everything. And they've kind of gotten busy with everything else in their life. And this is what it says in Haggai 1 verse 3-6, which you can understand is it's describing that hollow feeling I'm talking about this morning. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai saying, why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of heaven says. Look at what's happening to you. You've planted so much. You're so busy. You're doing so much at work. You're doing all the right things. You're ticking all the right boxes. But you're harvesting so little. You eat. Not lack, you eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets and have teenagers that help themselves to your pockets. Oh no, sir, it doesn't say that. You put in your wages in pockets as if they have holes. It's like no matter what you do, there's no sense of satisfaction. It's to this extreme of like, I can go and sit down and read all the chapters and verses that I need to read and pray all the prayers and do all the right things and it doesn't fix it. Or I can go to this extreme and do all the wrong things and do all the things that I should do and it doesn't fix it. It's like there's something wrong with me. I'm dissatisfied. I'm not content. I'm just meh. You see, it feels like you're putting in the work, you're carrying the weight, you're earning the wages, you're doing all the stuff, we're surviving. And for some, it's a little bit harder. For others, it's not so much. And again, I'm not pointing at like you're sitting there wondering, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do with my life. But actually, there is a part of us that becomes hollow and you are asking the question, what am I building with my life? Oh, well, I'm just doing my job, you know, so that I can get married. And then? Well, maybe I'll be content then. Maybe then it's to have a family. And then? And then it's to, I don't know, own a house. And then? It's to be comfortable. And then you're comfortable. And it's to not have concerns. And then? And it's like, it doesn't matter how high you go up on this thing. It's just got new levels of meh. And that's because you have been designed and built and created with a purpose. And when you do anything outside of that purpose, you might be able to do it, but it's not what you were designed to do. It's a good ringtone. Case in point, this guitar. Is it a coat hanger? Wow, guys. Eric, can you talk? Is it a coat hanger? But it can work as a coat hanger, right? I mean, it's definitely not what it's designed for. But it kind of gets the job done. I mean, there's a coat and it's hanging. It's like that's exactly what can happen with us. We're actually, the Bible would say, you are God's handiwork. That means the direct translation is you are his masterpiece. Like a master guitar maker, you are this incredible guitar that he has made and hand forged and he's planned, and he's got songs that he's written about you for you to play and to do and to accomplish with your life. Your life, every single one of you, not skipping anyone, has got this incredible purpose behind it. We have this creator that has put you together for a specific function, for a specific sound, for a specific melody to come from. And we're like, yeah, cool, thank you, Lord. It's a dark brown coat hanger. And we're like, well, you know, well, what I really need to survive is stability and security and comfort. It's a comfortable jacket. Warmth. Those are the things that I really need. That's the purpose of my life. And we wonder why we feel hollow and discontent. You see, we are designed. The Bible speaks about the Creator. The Creator has created us for what? Good. He's predestined us for good works. Why has he created us? We are worshipers. Do you know that? You're like, no, I'm a human being. No, human beings are created in the image of God. It means God created us in his image. And the purpose of a human being is to worship. Do you know that? Do you know that that's why you don't get such a thing as an atheist? Like, no, you do. I know some. No, you don't. Because even to be an atheist, you have to believe something. And so that's why if you look at the human race, what do they do? What do we do with everything? We worship. What do they do on the east side of the world? Worship all sorts of idols. Worship all sorts of gods. Worship all sorts of things. What do they do in the central part of the world? They worship themselves. What do they do in the west? They worship others. Celebrities, influencers, people. We are by design worshipers. You worship something. Do you know that you don't get to decide if you worship or don't? You only get to decide what you worship. There's no like, oh no, not me. I'm somebody that doesn't worship anything. Yeah, then you worship yourself. We are an idolatrous people by nature. We will worship things regardless. How do you know what you worship? Worship would be this. What do you give all your time and attention to? That's an act of worship, guys. What do you give all your finance to? What do you give all your thought life to? What do you give all your concern to? What do you give all your anxiety towards? What do you think about most? What consumes your brain? What are you thinking about right now while I'm shouting at you? Those are the things that by default we worship. And when you worship anything else, there is nothing, and Jesus used this illustration many times, there is nothing like God that satisfies. You have a hole inside of you, every single one of us. And unless you have the Lord in that void, your life will be hollow. You can put anything in to any measure. You can take any substance to any extreme. It will be hollow. You can take any pleasure to any extreme. It will be hollow. You can take any success to any level. Hollow. The life we all sit here secretly dreaming of is the life that when people get, they kill themselves having. We all want to live in Beverly Hills. We all want to be celebs. We all want to be famous. They all want to kill themselves. I know it sounds extreme. It's the reality. It is what we read about every next month. We were made for something. And if you don't live out that purpose, your life is hollow. Daniel Barnard, me, I get these feelings. And I have to often look at my life and say, you know what I've just done? I've gotten so busy with everything else. I've taken the guitar, the instrument of worship. I've put it up and I've started to just hang things on it. I've started to put all the concerns and all the other things. And you can be somebody who works full-time for a church and not have Jesus and worshiping him in a relationship with God at the center of your life. Phil lives like this too. Phil's amazing. And can you relate to what I'm saying? There's no one here that's exempt. That's why that scripture that we read, what is eternal life? To know him. Anything else is not a life worth living. The irony is, as an elder, often people come to me for perspective. And it's very funny when somebody comes to perspective regarding something they really want. Because the way that they come to you is very different to if someone's getting something they don't want. If somebody comes to you with something that they want, the way that they motivate is incredible. It's like, oh man, I just want to share with you, God's brought this most incredible opportunity my way. There is this new job opportunity that has just come knocking on my door, and it looks like the bee's knees. It's everything I've ever wanted. It's even the things I've been praying about secretly. You won't believe it. I've been asking the Lord if I can give 10%. This is going to help me give 15%. It's like, and they just start to dust off all the old prophecies. I mean, look at all these things that God has said to me at one point of my life. There was a time in my life where God said, you. And then 5 years later, he said, must. And then another 10 years later, he said, fly. And now I have an opportunity to be a pilot. And all of these prophetic words are saying the same thing. The stars have perfectly aligned. What it means is that I'm never going to be based anywhere and have any type of community. I'm going to fly around the world and I'm not going to be able to connect with my own family. I'm not going to be able to connect with the church. I'm not going to be able to connect to any type of... If you're a pilot, I'm not pointing at you. I have a random example because of fly. This must be God. And it's not my job to tell you what to do. If you feel the Lord is leading you like this and you're convinced, then there's the thing that you need to do. Then 12 months later, after getting the thing that you wanted so desperately, man, my life is hollow. The thing that I always wanted, I got it. And when I got it, it meant nothing. This is a symptom of a human being pursuing anything other than worshiping him. Do you know that we're the only race who kill ourselves? The only species? Do you know that? It's not found in the wild. When everything else is, when creation fulfills its purpose, it doesn't lead to self-destruction. But us, we can miss our purpose. And it leaves us with a life not worth living. And now I'm you like, everyone's like, Dan, you are depro today, bro. It's not, my heart's not to be depro. It's to say that, like, guys, the hollowness that I'm touching at is a reality for us. It's something that we all experience, and it doesn't matter what you put inside of there. And I want to start to lean into towards the solution. Donnie, can you pick up that masterpiece for me? You see, sometimes we come in and we diagnose ourselves. We like, it's tired, or it's boredom, or it's busyness. That's the latest one. We put down any type of hollow feeling and tired to busy. That's our latest diagnosis as a race, a species. We're like, we're busy. I'm feeling a bad way. It's because of busyness. I need more holiday. I need more leave. That's how we try and fix everything. I need to escape, get off the grid, get out the system. If I have less, if I have less responsibility, if I have less to do, then I'm therefore that's going to make me feel amazing. Do you know what? If you get that, do you know what you'll feel? Empty. It's not running away from your job that you need to do. It's not making a massive career change. It's actually doing the thing that you were made to do. Notice what happens when you take a guitar and you take the coat off and you start to do what it's meant to do. All of a sudden, it impacts a room. Did that guitar jump into his hands? Did that guitar throw off that coat? Is that guitar doing a lot of work right now? It's not. Who's doing the work there? Donnie's doing the work. All that's happened is the guitar's yielded to what the maker has made it to do. All that it's doing is what it was made for. It's the same with our lives. It's not about saying you need to all of a sudden do something more for God. It's not about saying, hey, no, you need to come worship at the front. That's going to give you some purpose. Hey, you need to read your Bible more. You need to pray more. You need to be more holy. You need to get all the things right. That's no, that's got nothing to do with it. It's actually, you've just got to yield to the Maker. You've just got to give Him your life. You've just got to say, Lord, do with me what you want to do with me. I'm made to worship you at the center of everything. By all means, I've got a job to do, but that's not where I'm looking to find life. By all means, I've got things I've got to get done, but that's not what's going to bring out the harmony inside of me. The guitar didn't have to work to get the jacket off. Didn't have to perform. Just has to be taken off display and put in the hands of the Maker. Matthew 23 verse 37. They've been trying to trick Jesus. They're trying to tell him, what is the greatest commandment? What is the one thing people should do with their lives? If you think you're so clever, you tell us. You tell me, what is the most important thing? You must love the Lord with your God, with all your heart, all your soul, all your... Do you want to get rid of the hollow feeling inside? I do. That's how you do it. You love the Lord with everything. You let that become the purpose of your life. Not serve the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind. Love Him. Not maintain all your Christian disciplines. Love Him. Not preach the gospel and be effective. Love Him. What is the most important thing you can do with your existence that if you do it, you will live completely satisfied in every part of your soul? Love Him. And the irony it says this is the more we try and fix and work and make this thing happen, do you know we just make it into an absolute mess? You end up scratching the guitar, you end up bending the neck, you end up tuning the strings out of tune. Eventually the guitar can't even do what it's meant to do because we've been using it. You could hammer nails with that. I just wouldn't recommend it. You could row a boat with that. You could do anything with the life that He's given you. You could. Or you could accomplish what He has designed you for, which is to be an incredible masterpiece, an incredible piece of handiwork that He has made to reflect His glory, so that when the strings are played, it impacts people around you. Because then Jesus says, but the second command is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And as you love the Lord, and as you start to do the thing that He's called you to, it starts to impact people around you. It starts to move them. It starts to point them towards worship. That's what He wants to do with every single one of us. And so it's a very simple prescription. Lord, I want to come back to You. I want to put You at the center. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. And then Jesus said to them, come to Me. He's talking to a people that are just, rules are put on them all the time. Expectations are put on them all the time. Requirements are put on them all the time. What you should do is put on them all the time. How you should please God. How you should live. How you should manage your life. The Jews had rules for everything. This is how you have to work. This is how you have to treat the poor. This is how you have to behave at home. This is how you have to treat your wife. This is how you have to treat God. The Jews had the most rules. And Jesus says to them, come to Me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Let Me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And then you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and the burden I give you is light. He literally says, the one thing that you need to do that will impact every other aspect of your life, love the Lord your God with everything inside of you. Yo, Dan, that's not really practical advice right now because I'm facing some things. Honestly, put the things down, let the guitar play. No, you don't understand. This situation is insane. Just let the guitar play. Everything else finds its place around this. Because when you yield to Him, it's rest. That's what He says. Then you'll find rest for your soul. Then you won't find a list of requirements. You'll find rest. Do you know what? Actually, serving the Lord, loving Jesus, it's the greatest pleasure of my life. It's the thing I want most. It's the thing that not only satisfies, it motivates. Doesn't only motivate, it flows out of me. I do everything because I love Him then. That's what Jesus tries to teach them later. But guys have misquoted that thing. It's like, oh no, if you love Him, you'll obey Him. He's like, no, you don't understand. This is the thing. When you love Him with everything and you find satisfaction and fulfillment inside of Him, to follow Him and obey Him is so easy. It's an overflow. You want to obey Him? Just love Him. never have to teach anyone how to love something. Oh no, Dan, how do I love God? Listen, how do you love that motorbike that you're obsessed over? Do the same thing, you'll be okay. How do you love that addiction that you just can't kick? That thing that you just keep feeding? The thing that you go to over and over again, that you'll take at all costs, that you'll do at all costs, that you'll hide, that you'll... Just treat the Lord that way. The thing you can't get out of your mind, just put Jesus at the center. That's how you love Him. And it's incredible, because the irony is, as you do this, there is this abundant life that starts to come out of you. The fruit of love. We spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. It's love with all these different kinds of flavors and things. And it's like when God's like, oh man, I just need God to help me. I'm battling with anger at the moment. I'm just so angry. I'm like, you're not angry. You lack love. You're not being filled with Jesus. You're lacking, you're not playing the guitar. I've emphasized enough. I want us to bow our heads. And so there are, this morning might feel a bit different for you from a preach, but I want to ask you to do something. I want you to just sit with your head bowed, your eyes closed. You can open your eyes because you can look at the lyrics if you want. I want Don just to sing a song over us. And then maybe at the end of it, we'll respond and sing it together. But I feel like for some of us, the Lord just wants us to come before Him again. He just wants us to align our hearts with Him again. He just wants us to draw into that place of saying, like, Lord, I just want to love You, and I want to be near You. Would You draw me deeper? Would You take me deeper? I long for You.